And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Hey, this is your RBLR Rays podcast. I'm your host, Zach Dolphin, with my co-host, Pat Davenport. Pat, Rays baseball, very soon.
Yeah. And very excited to be here. I have now emerged from the black void, from a.k.a. the UK.
And the off-season.
And the off-season. That's so true. I'm so glad that I've said it plenty of times on the podcast before, but my mileage on spring training games goes very quickly.
Yeah,
I begin to lose interest in spring training baseball very quickly. I watch like the first few, and then I'm like, oh man, it's a real slog to watch a bunch of stuff that doesn't like actually matter. Like, it's good to get a kind of inside scoop on what players are trying and, you know, position battles and stuff like that, but I find it really hard to just sit down and watch a full spring training game. And real baseball on Thursday, that's what it's all about. That's we're finally here.
We are. It's been a long, it feels like it's been a long off season. We have dealt with some tough subtractions, long-term guys that we rooted for years being gone from the roster. And although that stuff definitely still feels very real, it's assuaged a little bit by us being back, by the regular season being here, real baseball starting. We've got a lot to talk about today, so we're glad that you're here. We've got to talk about roster moves. We've got to talk about the finalization of the roster. We've got to talk about what we expect out of this team going forward. So much to say. We appreciate all of you that are here. Any of you that are joining for the first time, thank you for being here, getting right in for the season starts. We appreciate you. If you've been with us all off season long, glad that you stuck with us. We're excited to have you and carry you into the regular season. It's going to be a packed show today. If you enjoy the show, do us a huge favor and drop us a subscribe. It helps us out a ton. It's free. Doesn't sign you up for anything. Just lets you know when we're going live. Lets you know when you can be a part of the conversation. We do want to hear from you. Easiest way to make that happen is to go comment over on YouTube. Let's get right into it. Some pretty significant news has happened over the past few days. Two guys that we expected to make the opening day roster, both injured in Taylor Walls and Gavin Lux. Lux, it is a shoulder impingement is what they're saying. Walls, it is an oblique. As a result, it appears that both Richie Palacios and Carson Williams, who had recently been optioned to AAA and will now make the opening day roster. How are you feeling about this? It's a big change, but you feel better or worse about the roster with this change?
A little worse, but not hugely worse. I think I'm a big fan of Palacios. I really like what he can bring to the table. I think he's got a little less power than Gavin Lux, but he has great at-bats, good bat-to-ball skills, good at drawing walks, and will likely be a similar kind of fielding profile to Lux at second base. So him sharing the platoon with Ben Williamson, I think, is the play, and I think that's okay. I'm okay about that. Carson Williams coming up. The Rays didn't like what they saw, clearly, because I think Williams did have a chance to make the team if he showed them some stuff. Particularly contact rates, discipline stuff in spring. And the Rays clearly thought that he wasn't quite there yet, needed a little bit of extra time, and were ready to send him down and in favor of Taylor Walls. But I do think this is a ceiling-raising move, but also a floor-lowering move, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because we know what we're getting with Taylor Walls. But we don't necessarily know what Carson Williams' production is going to look like. I hope it's the good thing where he turns up and is just hitting the snot out of the baseball. But the key thing is we just lack a bit of options now, a little bit of depth in those positions. So we just need the rest of those guys to stay healthy now, because otherwise it gets very thin, very fast up the middle of the infield if we lose any more guys.
Yeah, and you know, I talked about when we first added Gavin Lux, that I believed that Richie Palacios was either equal or a better option. And so I don't want anybody ever getting hurt, period. So I'm okay with Palacios starting opening day. That doesn't really change how I feel about it. And Williamson has looked good. So I'm okay with the two of them maybe splitting reps there. I'm good with that. The Carson Williams one is interesting. And I think you are right in your assessment that the floor is a little bit lower, because the other thing that we saw in spring training was that the defense maybe wasn't quite ready, major league ready yet. Like, he's still going to be very good, but we've been talking about Carson Williams as if he is either the equal or slightly below of Taylor Walls from a defensive perspective. It does not appear that he is there yet. I don't think that that means he can't get there, but right now Taylor Walls is like significantly better defensively than Carson Williams. So you lose that. And you hope that what Carson can do with the bat from a power perspective, and hopefully now with a little adjustment from a contact perspective, is what raises him in value above Taylor Walls. The question is going to be, and it's the question that we're going to be asking ourselves all year long, is he actually going to be able to do that? Or are we going to see more of what we saw at the end of last year when he came up for about 23 games, where you saw the flashes, but it was mostly bad? And it's almost impossible for us to know which thing is going to happen. I am fine with them giving Carson the keys. But like you said, it's clear that they didn't even think that that's what they wanted to do, because they sent him down to begin with. And so it's an opportunity for Carson. Unfortunately, with Walls out with an oblique like that, the timeline on his return is murky at best. And we've seen this over the past couple of years. I think Bilal had an oblique. Josh Lowe, of course, had a really bad oblique. Those are just hard to recover from. It's tough to come all the way back in a season. And so we hope that it's minor as much as it can be, but realistically, we're not going to see much from Taylor Walls for a while. And even when he does get back, it's going to be even more of a focus on what he does defensively than offensively, I think, unfortunately. And so Carson Williams is going to get a full runway, a full chance to be the guy. It's just going to be whether or not he can go take it.
Yeah. And I think a big factor on whether or not this team succeeds this year is going to be, can he be major league average or better with the bat?
Yep.
Because if he can, I really like the outlook of this team. I don't think Taylor Walls could ever get to 100 WRC plus. I think there's a world where Carson Williams could.
Yeah. Yeah. I think his ceiling, we've talked about this before, his ceiling is like Willy Adames type of performance, right? And the question is going to be, how far away are we from that version of Carson Williams? Are we a year away? Is it he's ready for that right now? Or is it, 2 or 3 years down the road? And I wish I could sit here and tell you that I know what's going to happen and I've got an exact bead on how it's going to be. He is still only 22. He's his age 23 season, but he won't turn 23. It's a little bit later in the season. So he's still very young, of course. But the question will be if it's still too young for him to be up and being the starting shortstop. So we'll see. But I think if you were looking for storylines and you weren't sure what you wanted to follow besides Junior to start the season, well, you got one now that you can follow like very closely, because you're right. The ceiling of the season is going to rely on Carson's ability to figure it out. So lots to watch there. The other thing I think I'm taking away from the announcements that have come over the past couple of days of who's being sent down to the minors, we saw in the same move with Williams, Jacob Melton went down. Joe Boyle was optioned to the minors along with Palacios and Justin Henry Molloy. Victor Mesa was optioned a little bit before that. So that now sets up an outfield of Chandler Simpson, Cedric Mullins, Jake Fraley, and Johnny DeLuca to be your outfield guys, with Valeid and Palacios being your super utility type of guys, along with Williamson. They'll all kind of fluctuate. Williamson will be in the infield mostly. Valeid and Palacios will fluctuate between probably, but Palacios probably will get a lot in the infield as well. So those guys are all in the mix. But I think it's noteworthy that it seems very likely that, Chandler Simpson will be on the opening day roster.
Yeah, which I think What did we think coming into spring of Chandler Simpson's chances? I think we were like, it really depends on how his defense improves. That was kind of the main thing. I think it will have improved because he literally stood in a 50-foot radius to Kevin Kiermaier. So, like, it's got to improve just by standing in his presence for a little while. But he has been putting the work in. Like, the Rays are, like, very cognizant of the fact that his defense is the thing holding him back. Yeah. So he worked on it a ton over camp, and it has improved, I think. So that's great. And I'm glad he's on the major league roster. While I like Melton, I think you want him to be, when he's up, he's like the starter, mm-hmm. right? That's what you want from him. With Simpson, he is such a weapon that it can be used in so many circumstances, like pinch runner, like the like ideal pinch runner. And also is just a nightmare whenever you face him, because he makes contact at an elite clip and all he has to do is hit it as a blooper or on the ground, and that's a single. Like, a routine ground ball will be a single for him, and then he turns that into a triple by stealing two bases. It's a cheat code. Heck, even on MLB The Show this year, Chandler Simpson, I make sure he's on my bench every time. I need to score a run. He's coming on. 99 speed, 99 stealing. And honestly, I think if the cap wasn't on 99 speed, you could give Chandler Simpson something bigger than that. I'm really happy he's on the team because I just love the kind of outlier qualities that he has. So I'm really jazzed about this move. I think, unfortunately, there was only one outfield spot up for grabs because DeLuca's not going anywhere. Mullins was signed to a big contract, but like for the Rays standards, a big contract. And Fraley is out of options, and they're behooved to DFA him at this point. So I think there was only one kind of spot for a true outfielder, and it was going to come down to Simpson or Melton. I think Mesa and Henry Molloy are kind of AAA depth and always were. And I think they said for the versatility that he can bring, and the we don't mind if his reps are kind of not every day, Simpson made perfect sense.
Yeah, and I think that when you look at the other guys that, you know, we're talking about him fighting for playing time with, you could argue that, you know, he's a lefty, and you've got two other left-handed outfielders right now, along with DeLuca, who is a righty. So it's a bit of an odd situation with the, like, the platoon side of things, but there's a lot of right-handed infielders that the Rays have. Some of their best players on the infield are right-handed, with Junior, Yandy, and now Carson being right-handed as well. So, you know, I think he's going to find ways to play in those lineups as well, to be either getting in there against the righties or, you know, being trying to stagger a lineup a little bit. He's going to find his way into the lineup a good bit. And like you said, he's just a weapon. He puts pressure on the defense. He puts pressure on the pitcher with his unique skill set. And he's a guy that I just want him on my team. Like you said, I want him on my bench. I want him on my roster because he is a weapon. And again, we're talking about the ceiling, right? The best version of this Rays team is Chandler Simpson playing well enough to justify starting every day. If he is playing well enough defensively and putting the ball in play enough to utilize his stealing ability, that is the best version of this team.
100%. And we must mention that he went legitimately yard the other day.
Yes. Yep. Yep. 344.
For the first time in his professional career, not even like minors, majors, like anywhere in affiliated baseball, he has left the yard for the first time. It was right down the line, but it were, you know, let's not be picky here. I hope they all count the same.
Yeah. I mean, it was 344 right down the line. That's a home run in most ballparks.
Now, here's the question. Here's the million-dollar question. Over, under, Chandler Simpson, half a home run this year.
Are we counting inside the Parkers?
Okay, let me put it this way. Over under 0.5 outside the park home runs.
One. I will hit the over on that because I think he will find a way, if he plays enough, to sneak one over the wall. I think he'll find a way to sneak one over.
Yankee Stadium, I could see it.
I think he'll find a way. And I mean, listen, we play, what, 7 or 8 games at Yankee Stadium every year? So there's that. And, you know, I think he could get one into the I think even in the Trop, he could sneak one over.
That little Dan Johnson corner.
Yeah, the little 162 landing. He could sneak one in there, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So that will be a big day. The fact that he'd never hit a minor league home run, but hit his first home run in the major leagues. Has there, right, stat people, get on this. Has there ever been a player in history that never hit a minor league home run, but has hit a major league home run first?
That is an excellent question. Like, unless, like, and we should caveat it with, has played, wasn't just like shot straight up to the majors where he didn't really play in the minors. They just brought him straight on. Like, is there
What's the most amount of games played in the minors before hitting your first major league home run without having hit one in the minor leagues?
Stats and info. We'll get back to you on that sometime in the future.
Yeah, 100%. I hope he does. That'd be crazy. That'd be like the Bartolo Colon home run, but like
that was
the opposite reason. Yeah.
So that is the the roster as it stands right now from the hitting side. We'll cover the pitching side in just a second. The opening day roster as it stands from our hitters: Yandy, Aranda, Caminero, Fraley, Mullins, Williamson, Simpson, Williams, Nick Fortes, Hunter Fiducia, Palacios, DeLuca, Valade. I don't think, unless you have, I'm expecting beyond injuries, that is the roster opening day.
Yeah, we should probably mention Valade. I don't think many people, he was on many people's radar apart from Ben Whitelaw's coming into camp. But he made the team. He just kept surviving cuts. And then we were like, hey, this guy's probably going to make the team at this point. Yeah. They like his positional versatility. He can play second. He could probably play first in a pinch. He can play the corner outfield. He absolutely smokes the ball off left-handed pitching and hits the ball really hard, has decent at-bats, hasn't really had a good run at the major league level before. So he's a guy that could surprise. Good exit velos. It'll be interesting to see when and how the Rays want to utilize him.
Yeah, I mean, what seems to make sense is a platoon with him and maybe Fraley in the outfield.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Yeah. You could also platoon with Palacios. You could also platoon with Aranda if they want to go that way. I think Aranda's too good to platoon him, but
yeah. Interesting thing about this, the beginning of the season, we start against a lefty in Liberatore, which that's a whole other, you know, former Ray, Matthew Liberatore, we're starting against. Is there a chance that Ryan Valade starts opening day for the Rays?
I think there's every chance Ryan Valade starts opening day against the Rays for the Rays. I think, in fact, I would give it like 95% odds that it's him in right field.
It's him in right field over Fraley.
Yeah.
We'll see. Because, I mean, it's interesting that we start against a lefty because you think, okay, for sure, then DeLuca's in. For sure, Valade's in. And then you wonder between, this is the weird thing, if you have three other outfielders who are all lefty, is which of those three, do we see Mullins in there and then Chandler on the bench along with Fraley?
Yeah, that's how I do it.
Feels like it. Feels like Mullins should start, you know?
Yeah, he's had a good spring.
Yeah, Chandler first off the bench maybe.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
And then that would probably put Williamson, who is a righty, and who has had a monster spring, has looked fantastic. Again, we don't care that much about spring training results, but he has looked great. That probably puts him at second. And then, you know, the rest of the guys, it's Yandy, Aranda Jr., Carson. And then I guess Fortes, probably because he's a righty, will start opening day.
I guess so. I think Fortes is the number one catcher.
I think so too. Yeah, I think they like him a little better. I think the slightly better defense, maybe not. I think it's a decently better defense over Fiducia. I think it's going to get him more starts overall. I do think that Fiducia, being the longer side of the platoon, is going to end up getting him maybe more starts than your average number two catcher. We'll see. We'll see. But yeah, I mean, I think that's, I think that's a good estimation of how we're going to line them up opening day.
Yeah, 100%. And speaking of lining things up, they've lined up the rotation order, which is a bit of an unconventional order. I think not the way we might have laid it out. We knew Rasmussen is our opening day starter. That was kind of never in doubt. But then Nick Martinez is our number two. He's getting the second day of the season, which I think is a surprise because I would have put Pepio there myself. Right. And also, I think we should probably address that Martinez has not had a particularly good spring. He got kind of hit around his past couple outings. Are you at all concerned about Nick Martinez's spring performance?
So when it comes to spring training performances for pitchers, I care about two things. Are you in the strike zone? I actually care about three things. Are you in the strike zone the way you should be? Is your velocity where it should be? And are you healthy? If those three things are where they need to be, I do not care about anything else, because those are the three things that I think you should be getting right as you get into the season. The results, who cares? Well, like, I to be honest, I did not watch a whole lot of the game where he got lit up for 12 runs, to be totally honest with everybody here. And watching back the replay, who knows what the goal for that outing was for him? Was it just to get through four innings? Was it to work on a certain pitch? You never know when it comes to spring training. I don't really care that he got lit up. I think he's going to be fine. That being said, you know, he's starting number two in the rotation, but I think we all know that he's a 4-5, realistically speaking, in a major league rotation. But that's fine. There's got to be a 4-5 in everybody's rotation. As much as we'd like to pretend that we just have a rotation full of ones and twos, that's not how most rotations end up. We've got some guys who have the potential to be there, and maybe we end up there by the end of the year with some of the guys that we like in the minors. But the reality is, it's going to start with a couple of guys in Mattson and Martinez that are realistically a 4-5 type guy. And they're going to be fine. They're going to be just fine in those roles. Not worried. Not a problem.
Yeah, completely agree with those three kind of tenets of performance quality in spring. It literally doesn't matter. You can't predict BABIP. You don't know the hitters you're going to face. You don't know what the hitters are trying. You don't know what the pitcher's trying. Yeah, there's too many variables in spring where – especially the players and the teams do not care about how the result goes. If the Rays were trying to win that game, Nick Martinez would have got hooked a while ago.
Yes.
Like, and if Nick Martinez cared about, you know, getting the outs as efficiently as possible, he probably would have locked in a little bit more. But he's like, it's spring. If I get shelled for 12, who cares? Nothing goes, like, nothing counts. So let's not get, like, yeah, it was a bad performance, but, like, in a game where performance doesn't matter. So, just chill.
So him being number two, I think, is more of a just a factor of the way they wanted to handle the fact that they're starting on the road.
Yeah, yeah. Mats is starting three, and then when we go to Milwaukee, it's Pepio and McClanahan.
Yeah.
Four and five.
Yeah.
McClanahan five, I kind of get workload management. Pepio four is an interesting call, I think. I don't know why he didn't get two, but I'm sure they had a reason for it. Maybe it's the way their spring schedules worked out, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I don't know either. I wonder if it's one of these things where they wanted to get their younger guys later in the rotation for whatever reason. They just decided that that's the way they wanted to do it. I also wonder if, you know, they wanted to go righty lefty and they just decided that's how they wanted to break it out. I don't think there's much to read into the way that they did it.
No, I don't think it's a reflection on how they view the starters in terms of ability.
I wouldn't worry about it
and
too much.
No real surprises in the bullpen either, really. I guess Steven Wilson took and Uceda took themselves out of the running by being hurt.
Yeah.
Which is a shame. Which meant that people like Englert, Biggie, Salsa, Gomez all managed to kind of sneak in there. But yeah, no real surprises. There was no one optioned to AAA. That was like, what? You optioned them to AAA?
Yeah.
I think Joe Boyle made a real good showing of himself this spring, and I think he'll be up sooner rather than later. Kevin Kelly doesn't look like he's going to make the roster, which I think is the only interesting one.
Yeah. I think that you end spring training with the idea of Boyle and Kelly being first up in their respective roles. And we'll just have to see when that opportunity comes. I'm sure it will. We'll have to see. I think both of them will pitch major league innings and like a significant amount of major league innings this year. But I'm also fine with them starting in the minors.
Me too. Me too. Kelly's coming off a bad year. And Boyle, you know, is still like kind of a work in progress. The only other one I'm watching is Cam Boozer. He had a pretty good spring and didn't make the team. I think that must suck if you're the player when you have a good showing in camp and they tell you not you're making the team. But he now has the option, like he has to make a decision of whether or not he's going to cook in AAA with the Bulls or if he's going to try and find an opportunity elsewhere. And I'll be watching that because I'd quite like to keep him around if possible.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. I agree. I would also like to keep him around. But there's a decent amount of options. If he does decide to move on, we do still have some other guys that are options down there. So I'm not overly concerned about it, but would like to keep him if we can.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I'll tell you somewhere else that has a lot of options. And you can't, you know, it's good to have as many as possible and you've got tons of quality options. And that is shop.rblrsports.com. I love shop.rblrsports.com. They've got all of the great Tampa Bay teams merchandise. They got stuff for the Rays. They got stuff for the Rowdies. They got stuff for the Bucks. They got stuff for the Lightning. They got stuff for the Sun as well. They got all the Tampa Bay teams absolutely locked down, repped, and you can get some great merch representing those teams at shop.rblrsports.com. And if you use the promo code FLAPPY, FLAPPY, like our flappy boys, you get 10% off your order. So why don't you get yourself down to shop.rblrsports.com, use the promo code flappy for 10% off your order. That's my advice to you to get ready for opening day.
Whether you need starting caliber stuff or whether you just need a little bit of depth, you'll find it at shop.rblrsports.com, no matter what.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
So here we are, Pat. The offseason is basically over. We have one more spring training game tomorrow. And then after that, we are here, the beginning of the season. And there's really only one question left. The roster is basically set. No more surprises, really. No more moves we think are going to be made. This is the squad. This is the team, you know. And so I really only have one question left for you. What do you think this season will hold for the Tampa Bay Rays?
All right, prediction time. Do you want my little predictions or do you want my big, like, where the season's going to go prediction first?
Give me some little predictions first.
Okay, so some little predictions that I've got. And let me know if this is a hot or a cold take, I suppose. Okay. My first prediction is that Junior Caminero is going to get a new season high in home runs.
Ooh.
And a new season high in double plays. Grounded into.
I would say that take in its entirety is like, I think half of it is a bit of a hot take. The other half is a little more lukewarm. I think that's like what people might expect. I think that's a pretty hot take.
Thank you. Thank you. I hope it doesn't happen. I hope Junior gets the ball in the air more to the point where he doesn't ground into 2 million double plays this year. But that's going to be the thing that makes or breaks his season, is how consistently he can elevate the ball. Every other part of his batting game is there. So that's the one to watch. I hope I'm not true. I hope it's not true. I'm interested to see how he will do in the trop. Full-time as well, and how much that will affect. I've already said that I don't think it's going to have a massive effect on his numbers, but I'll be interested to see what effect it does have, if any. Okay. So that's one of my little predictions. Okay. Do you have any little predictions?
I would say one of my little predictions is actually kind of the opposite of what you said, which is I think that he will hit less home runs, but he will also ground into fewer double plays. I think that this season will be a season for him where he is able to make that adjustment and he puts the ball in play a little bit more with a little bit more quality of contact and a little bit more quality of ball in play, where we see maybe he hits 40, 45 home runs, but that on base percentage goes way up relative to last season and the ground ball rate goes down. And he's hitting more line drives and it's more fly balls, which are the fly balls running up in home runs or maybe long outs, but that those line drives then are doubles and singles that bring the on base percentage up and bring that WRC plus and WAR up. So I think we're actually going to see a season from Junior where he hits fewer home runs, but his WRC plus is closer to like a 130, 140, where he's even better. And you start to say, wow, this guy could really be a complete player.
That's the dream. That's the dream scenario. I want you to be right more than I want me to be right.
Yeah.
I've got a bold take for you.
Okay.
Ben Williamson wins either, and this is the bit that makes it slightly less hot because I'm saying an either, but he either wins the Utility Golden Glove or Silver Slugger Award.
Wow, that is a scalding hot take from Pat Davenport. Off the press.
I was moved by his spring training offensive performance. All right. So I'm willing to put him in either of those categories. We know the defense is pretty legit, but he's hit pretty well. So I'm gonna say he wins one of the utility awards this season.
Okay, I'm gonna do. I feel like we have some counter opinions because I'm gonna deliver another opinion that I think is sort of counter to this one. And this one's a little bit more heart than head, if I'm being honest, but it's what I want and I'm gonna predict it anyway. I'm gonna speak it into existence. I think at the end of this season, Richie Palacios will have the most starts at second base.
I see that. I do see that.
100%. I think that Lux will be okay. I think that this is an opportunity that Richie will not like pass up lightly. And I think he's going to find a way, being on the long side of the platoon, being a lefty, he's going to find a way onto the field. He's going to find a way to be an impact guy, which is what he's been every time he's actually been on the field. He's going to find a way to stay healthy and he's just going to be awesome. And he's going to be our starting second baseman going forward.
I love that. And I kind of agree. I think Ben Williamson is going to bounce around. I think he's going to play whenever Junior's got a day off, he's going to play third. He might get some starts at short, some starts at second. He's going to be like all over the place. Should I say? Yeah, this one's a nice, easy one.
Okay.
Maybe it's not bold enough. Chandler Simpson steals 80 bases.
I would say that's a very lukewarm take. But I think I'm kind of with you. I think especially considering he's on the opening day roster most likely, and him being on the opening roster was not affected by an injury, makes me think that they're going to give him a lot of run. And that if he plays a full season in Major League Baseball, he's going to steal 80 bases. I'm with you.
Should I up the ante then? Should I say 100?
100 would that would be hot. That would be a hot take.
Yeah.
That would be a
okay.
Hot
let's
take.
Let's meet in the middle. Let's go 90.
90, Chandler I think Simpson, is good. 90 is good. Yeah. I'm good with that.
Chandler Simpson. I mean, because if you said, he leads the league in steals, well, duh. Like, he's gonna do that. Sorry, Cabby, yeah. Your reign of terror is over at the top of the AL stolen base charts.
Yeah.
I'm kind of got bummed that Cabby's on the Yankees, you know.
I know. It does bum me out a lot, actually. I liked Cabby.
I need to come up with a good pitching prediction. Do you have any pitching predictions?
I do have a pitching prediction, and it's unfortunately not one that I'm happy to deliver. But it's one that I, like, the more that I think about it and the more that I've watched this person, the more that I just, like, I want to be wrong, but I don't think I am going to be. And it is that Ryan Pepiot is mostly going to be the same. This season, he's going to be pretty good. Where he's not going to take that next step, he is still good, but he's going to be like pretty good. I just haven't Like last year really like I think he's going to stick with me. I really thought that was the year that he was going to make the move and he just didn't. And I just don't know that we're going to see a big step forward for him. I think we might see little steps over the course of his career where he be where like, you know, 2 or 3 years from now, he's like a little bit less, a little bit worse than Drew Rasmussen, where he's like, okay, he's fine. He's kind of evolved slowly. I don't know that we're going to see one big step in a season. It's a little disappointing, but that's just kind of how I feel right now.
I get it. It's a big put up or shut up year for Pepio.
Yeah.
Cause I think if he doesn't show much or gets worse this year, you gotta go, maybe it's time to move on. I don't know.
Or you have to reevaluate the way that you were thinking about paying him, the way that you were thinking about extending him. You got to reevaluate where he fits in that zeitgeist.
Yeah, 100%. My pitching one is a more positive one. I think Griffin Jacks will pitch the 9th inning of the All-Star game.
Okay. I like it. He was very good at the WBC. And he's like, I hope that has sort of washed off some of the stench of how he performed in his Rays tenure last year, because I think he's really good, and I think he's going to be a lot of fun to watch this year in the Rays.
Yeah, we got a bit unlucky last year with our pitching additions because Baker got off to a rough start, Jax got off to a rough start, I think Hauser got off to a rough start. They all kind of got good by the end, but it was like a little too late.
Yeah.
But I think Jax is due for a huge bounce back season, and I think he will be the most coveted closer in the American League and will get the 9th inning of the All-Star game.
I like it.
Because, like, who's his competition? Who are the big closers in the American League?
Chapman is one that will be talked about. Whitlock, maybe. They're both on the same team. But Bednar.
I am not moved. I'm not moved by David Bednar. Felix Bautista's injured. Jeff Hoffman doesn't move me.
Duran.
Duran's pretty good. Duran's pretty good. Mason Miller's not in the American League anymore. So yeah, I'm moved by Griffin Jacks. I'm ready to push my chips in. And I'll give my final prediction, which is the big one. Where are the Rays gonna go this season?
Yeah.
I'm saying, and this isn't a bold pick, this is an aim for accuracy pick.
Okay.
I'm gonna go 86 wins. Third wild card.
Okay. I'm in a very similar boat with you. I last year I picked the Rays to win the World Series. And one of my New Year's resolutions was that I'm not doing that probably ever again. And this year I'm kind of in the same boat with you. I think they're going to get 88 wins. I think there's a chance they get 90, but I think it's going to be 88 and, like you, third wild card. I do think this is a playoff team. And a lot of it, to be honest, I don't like, it's going to be so hard for me to envision having a guy who is literally like in maybe third base one or third base two in MLB and then not being in the playoffs. I don't know that I can stomach that. Like, I barely stomached it last year. If he has another season of that quality and we're not in the postseason, like, something dramatic will need to be changed. Like, I'll be honest, something dramatic needs to change. I'm not saying we need to fire a manager, but whether it's a roster perspective, something dramatic needs to change. You cannot have a top person at a position of value like third base and not be in the postseason. So I think this is an 88-win team. I think the pitching is just good enough. I think the bullpen is more than good enough. I think the infield is good enough. And I think the outfield will find a way between the veterans we've brought in and the young talent to not anchor the team down as much as they did last year. And that this team will find a way back into the postseason in the third wildcard spot.
And it's a comparatively weak American League, I think.
Yes.
It was like this last year. I thought the American League was quite weak last year as well. The Yankees, the Red Sox, the Tigers are the only real kind of like big teams that are like are moving. I think the Mariners are big favorites in the West for me, but
But like Texas,
Texas, Houston, Cleveland, Toronto. I think it's going to be a bit of a...
The Royals, maybe. But yeah, it's a lot of maybes. It's a lot of maybes. There's not a lot of certainty.
Yeah, so I think the Rays have just got to like do their business and, yeah, try and kind of peep their head out above the kind of malaise in the middle. Yeah. I hope they can make it work. I mean, not only do we have probably the second best third baseman behind Jose Ramirez, we've got a top five first baseman, I think, in Aranda. Mm-hmm. I would also say our DH is top five in Yandy Diaz.
Yeah, I agree.
So, like, we've got enough, but we just gotta, we're gonna need to see the maybes pay off on our team to make it happen, I think. And last year, literally anything on the borderline didn't work.
Correct.
Arguably the past 2 years.
I think every coin flip came up tails. Every single one. All the guys that we were like, they're gonna be good, were good. And some of them were even like Aranda and Caminero were better than we expected. But the guys that we were hoping, all bad. And I will say, they have done some work with Fraley and Mullins, and maybe even Williamson too to some degree, to basically say that's not going to happen. Like, we're not going to just be awful in those positions. Like, they're going to at least be okay. And I think that what they think is, hey, listen, like you just said, we've got three guys that are top five at worst in their positions. If we just don't suck at the other ones, this team can make the playoffs. And I think that's kind of the gamble that they're making. And it puts a lot of pressure on those three guys. But if we know anything about Junior Caminero, it's that the pressure does not bother him. He loves it. He loves the pressure. He loves the moment. I think that they know that about him. And I think that he knows, I have got to be the guy on this team. And I think he's ready for it. I think he is ready to be a leader on this team along with Yandy Diaz. And I think they can carry this team to the playoffs.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. They just need to extend him now.
Yes.
Patrick Salupski.
Yesterday's price is not today's price. I will say it until my lips fall off. Every day you wait, every home run he hits next season, the value goes up. So
yeah, the best time to extend him was during the off season. The second best time to extend him is right now, before opening day, which means we got to get around the table pretty quick.
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, I hope that they can, because they need to figure it out, because he is the future. He is the franchise. And so last question for you, we both picked them to get to the postseason. Where do you think they go in the postseason?
Division series.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I think, and you know what? For a team that's like now, because I think before we had this idea that we had a team that had won together before. And so we felt like, that we've got to, this is now a new team. Mm-hmm. Whatever we would like to say or think about it, this is a new group, this core. So they need to learn to win together a little bit. I think it's a core of guys like Aranda, Caminero, Simpson, Carson Williams will now be in that group. Shane McClanahan is sort of in the other group, but not really. But then you've got guys like Pepio and Rasmussen, Jax, Clevenger. These guys need to learn to win. If they can get through a wild card series and put up a fight in a divisional, I'm okay with that. Then I can say they've been there. They've won a little bit. They got a taste of winning. And then it's go time after that. So that I will be very happy with that. I mean, I won't be happy the day after we lose probably, but I will be like, okay, we've taken, this is like, if we're charting a trajectory that ends in a Rays World Series, the first step is getting into the playoffs and winning a couple of games.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't won a playoff game since 2021.
That doesn't feel good. That feels
That's
bad.
5 years ago now. That's 5 years ago now.
That feels bad. That feels bad.
So any win in a playoff game would be huge.
Yes.
We're on an L7 in the playoffs. So we need to get that off the back.
Yes. Yeah. Agreed.
So let's do that and work from there.
Yeah. Sounds good. If only it would just work out exactly the way that we're saying. I guess Let's do one last thing. I'll do something positive after this, but I want to do one thing I think is fair to do. Worst case scenario. Not including injuries.
I mean, worst case scenario is that we finish last in the division. I think there's a non-zero chance that happens.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario, genuine worst case scenario, is we finish last in the division. Wanda wins his appeal case. and Junior demands a trade.
Yeah, I think for me, it is a regression type season, a season similar to we saw, like Gunner had a bit of a slight step back, where it wasn't like he was bad necessarily, but he was definitely not as good as he was before. And like now there's some question maybe a little bit there. It is one where Chandler can't find a way on base and he's just, all that speed is wasted. It's one where Aranda also similarly takes a sophomore slump, and where Yandy's age catches up to him a little bit. And Carson is not ready for the moment. And like you said, that is on the board. I find it unlikely that it would all happen together, but if it does, it is on the board, and that now becomes a team that is holding up the rear in the division.
100%. Sorry, I just got really cross. I just wanted to check on Twitter that Jeff Passan had not tweeted that we extended Junior. And some baseball account went, just baseball's top 10 pitchers in the AL East, right? Top 10 pitchers in the AL East. Drew Rasmussen's not on it.
Mm.
They've put Carlos Rodon.
Ooh.
They've put
Kevin
Gausman at number 4.
Wow.
Kyle Bradish is on the list.
You're telling me? Wow. Disqualified.
Aroldis Chapman's on the list.
Wow.
Drew Rasmussen is not on the list.
Yeah. No. Okay. So let's do last one to kind of counter that nonsense. Which Ray do you think is most likely to win an award?
Junior MVP, I think.
I think it's Drew Cy Young.
Really?
I think Cy Young is wide open. I mean, yes, Scoobs is there. And Scoobs, he is the most Crochet. Likely, but like besides Scoobs, I think Drew can go toe to toe with Crochet. I think that wow. I think it's lock for me that he's going to get votes. I think he's going to find a way to get there this year.
Okay. I think it's Junior for the MVP. All it takes is Judge to get injured. If Judge gets injured, I think it's suddenly a wide open. The problem is the MVP races are like, you could put money on him now that Ohtani and Judge just win him.
Yeah.
But apart from Judge, who are we looking at? Like, I mean, Vladdy will be in the conversation. Gunner could be in the conversation.
If he has a crazy year.
I don't know if Raleigh's going to be quite as good this
Witt's
year.
I think Witt is probably going
to
win.
Bobby Witt.
I think Bobby Witt's here. I think he's going to
win. Yeah, Bobby Witt. I like that idea. But I think Junior's got a real shot. If he hits like 50 home runs, like, we got to think about it.
Yeah. And I hope that you are all thinking about what your predictions are, and you can let us know. You heard it here first. The Rays are going to make the playoffs. They're going to make it probably by the skin of their teeth. I think we both think that it's going to be coming down to the last week of baseball. But they are going to make the postseason. And it's going to be a fun season, I think, guys. Like, I think it was on the board at one point that we may be in for a rough season. I think the moves they've made and the great things we've seen in spring training have taken that out for me. I think it's going to be a fun season. I think we're going to be fighting for a playoff spot, which is about all you can ask for, I think, with the current roster construction that we have. And there's going to be some really fun storylines. And we hope that you will stick with us all season long as we talk about all those storylines. If you enjoyed the show today, do us a huge favor and drop us a subscribe or a follow on any of the platforms. It helps us out a whole bunch. And it lets you know when we go live so you can be a part of the conversation, which we hope that you will be all season long. It's going to be a great season, guys.
Yeah, I absolutely can't wait. This Thursday against the Cardinals. Sorry, Birds. Sorry, Eureka. We're going to beat up those Birds.
Sorry, Matthew Liberatore. I always liked you, I just want to make, I just want to say that I always liked him. If we light him up, I always liked you, and I'm sorry if what Junior's going to do.
Thank you for Randy Rosarena, Matthew Lee. Thank you.
Good stuff. It's here. We've waited all off season long, and this raise up that I'm about to say will be the last raise up before we have real baseball. And so it's been a great off season of talking ball with you, Pat, and with all y'all who are watching us. But I am ready to move into the regular season and ready to, after a Rays victory on opening day, hopefully say raise up.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLI Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.